be obvious. And the truth is that almost every goal that you set will require a change in your routine in order to get there. Good intentions alone are worthless. Resolve cannot change what routine created. And this applies to every part of your life. It applies to your spiritual life. You can't believe your way out of problems that were created by your behavior. And you see, in many of our lives, the problem is the pattern. In fact, that's the first point on your outline. The problem is the pattern. Let me explain that more as we look at John chapter 15. It says, Jesus says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We talked about last week how the key word in that passage is the word remain. Jesus keeps repeating that over and over. Remain, remain, remain. You see, the faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. The faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out, to remain. You've seen all these people who are always stepping out in faith, stepping out in faith, stepping out in faith, and they may seem on the surface like they have a lot of faith, but they never get anywhere. It never lasts because they don't have the faithfulness to stick it out. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus is describing a process by which fruit is produced in our lives, and he's also describing the purpose of pain in our lives. Notice he talks about pruning. Pruning is painful. But he says that the pain is not pointless as long as you remain in me. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't mind some pain as long as it's not pointless pain. I hate pointless pain. You know, if I know there's a purpose for the pain, then I can stick it out. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want to grow fruit inside of you. I want there to be fruit in your life, but you have to understand the pattern, which also involves pruning. You see, Jesus is describing an agricultural process, growing grapes on a vine, but he's relating it to a spiritual pattern, the pattern by which our lives produce and then are pruned. They're pruned through circumstances, through emotional challenges, through correction from God, through seasons of waiting. God says, in those times of pruning, you're being tested, you're being tried, but ultimately, you're being pruned so that you can produce again and produce more. At the end of each season of fruit production, you prune the vines so they can produce even more in the following season. And every grapevine goes through these cycles. Produce, prune, produce, prune, produce, prune, over and over. And our lives go through the same cycles. Produce and prune. The pruning continues throughout the life of the vine, and so that it continued to produce even more. So Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. And we like the sound of that, don't we? We all love gardeners, right? Because gardeners take care of the plants, and they feed the plants. We like that. It's all good. But then in verse 2, Jesus says, he cuts off every branch in me. Whoa! Hold on a minute. I don't like that kind of gardener. You know, I don't want to be have things cut off of me. You know, that sounds more like Edward Scissorhands. I don't want that kind of gardener. But that's part of God's hands, part of God's plan to help us produce. Every grapevine goes through these cycles, produce, prune, produce, prune. Anybody ever play Pac-Man? Yeah, all of us old people. For you people 18 and under, Pac-Man is a video game that we used to play in the old days, you know, like before Call of Duty Black Ops or before Grand Theft Auto. You know, we didn't have those games. We had Pac-Man, right? When Kathy and I were dating, we loved to play Pac-Man, and we were pretty good at it, you know, so we'd be competitive and try to beat each other. And we played enough so that we knew some of the patterns that the little monsters had, you know, the little ghosts, where they would go each time as you got on a new screen. And so we'd always do the same pattern so that we could get the maximum score. There was a movie recently, I don't remember the name of it, but there was a grown-up man playing Pac-Man, in the video arcade, and this little kid comes over. And the man says, you know, don't bug me, kid. You know, I normally wouldn't care, but I'm having the game of my life. I'm on the cherry level. And the kid says, but that's the first level. He says, I know, and I still have one man left. So, like I said, I'm having the game of my life. And the boy says, you like Pac-Man? And the man says, well, of course, it's a classic. And while he's talking to the kid, he's chasing these blinking ghosts around. And then he says, see, my mistake is that I get greedy going after the ghosts and the fruit instead of just clearing pellets. And then the kid says back, you know there's a pattern, right? You know there's a pattern. He's saying, in other words, you're just randomly chasing stuff, but there's a pattern to Pac-Man. You do know there's a pattern, right? And I think in John chapter 15, Jesus is trying to get his disciples to perceive the pattern because he's about to be crucified. And it's going to look like he lost. It's going to look like things went all wrong and went badly. But before all this happened, Jesus wants them to know something. He wants them to know it sometimes looks like life happens at random. It sometimes looks like it's going all different directions and maybe all wrong directions. But you know what? There's a pattern. There's a pattern. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul here is trying to get the believers in Rome to see that there's a pattern. He sees them going this way and that way and chasing the ghosts and the fruit, and they have all these different philosophies and beliefs and, that they're going after. But Paul tells them, you know there's a pattern to this world. Romans 12, 2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He's saying there's a pattern in this world, but there is also God's will, which is a different pattern. And so we need to learn to recognize a different pattern. Now, the world is not the problem. God loves the world. In fact, he loved the world so much that he sent his only son to die for us. It's not the world that's the problem. It's the pattern of this world. It's how the world thinks. It's how the world speaks. It's how the world reacts to things. It's what this world is chasing after. The problem is the pattern. And if you don't see the pattern, or maybe you don't even realize there is a pattern, then you spend your whole life playing Pac-Man, chasing after the ghosts. You know, you're chasing money, chasing sex, chasing pleasure, chasing affirmation, chasing achievements, chasing, you know, comfort, never realizing that there's a pattern. There's a pattern. And once you start to understand this, once you perceive the pattern, then life doesn't seem so random anymore. But if you don't perceive the pattern, then you'll experience life as a series of unrelated problems. And you'll wonder why these problems go away, but then they just come back in another form, and you're always dealing with the same kind of things. And it's because the problems are created by the pattern in your life. And until you deal with the pattern, the problems will always return. And so you have a problem over here and a problem over there, and a problem with this person, and a problem with that person, and a problem with your career, and a problem with your kids, problem, 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 all over the place. But the truth is, all the problems are a result of one pattern. And if you can perceive the pattern, then you can address the problem. In fact, if I simply look at the pattern or patterns in your life, then I can predict your problems. Life is really not as mystical as a lot of us seem to think. Yes, things sometimes do happen that appear random and none of us can explain it, but the majority of the problems in our lives are a result of patterns. You see, there's actually a scientific reason behind this. Your brain is made up of neurons, and those neurons have nerve endings, and they send signals and create neural pathways in your brain. When you first learn to do something, those neural pathways are kind of weak. That's why when you first learn to ride a bike, you have to really focus and concentrate on it. you know, maybe some of you still have to focus and concentrate on that. But eventually, you know, you do it for a while, and then it becomes second nature, and you just hop on the bike, and you're not even thinking about it, you're not focusing at all, and you're just riding. You know, I just moved a few weeks ago, and at first, when I was driving to my new house, I had to think about every turn along the way. Let's see, is this where I turn right? Or no, it's the next one, and I had to really think about it so I didn't get lost. But now, you know, and it's because those neural pathways were very weak then, but now they're kind of burned into place, and now I don't even have to think about where I'm driving. The car just goes there, and before I realize it, I'm home, and I haven't even thought about it, right? And it's because there's a pattern formed in my brain. A lot of your responses to life aren't even conscious. They're a pattern that's been burned in there. And they affect your life without you even realizing it. And the amazing thing about this is long before neuroscientists told us about patterns, God's Word told us about patterns. In 2 Timothy 1:13, the Apostle Paul says, "What you heard from me, keep as the," what? "As the pattern of sound teaching." Paul's saying to Timothy, who's a leader of the church in Ephesus, he says, there's a pattern for you to keep. You don't just get up and preach whatever you feel like and expect God to bless it. No, there's a pattern for you to keep. And if you keep to the pattern, then you'll see the blessing. What's happening right now in our country is that some people don't perceive the pattern that made our nation great. And so they want to discard the values of the past. They want to discard some of the things that have brought us blessings. You know, it wasn't some strange accident that our country became strong over the last several hundred years. There was a pattern behind it. And now we're moving away from the pattern. And so Paul tells Timothy, you need to keep the pattern of sound teaching. In Romans 5:14, it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come." You see, Adam was the first man. He was created as a good pattern, but he became a bad pattern, and because he became a sinner, now we all became sinners. The problem was the pattern. And now that means that every child that's born into this world is born according to that pattern, that same sinful pattern. And in fact, we all know that there are generational patterns, so that you see your kids fighting with the same things that your great-grandfather was fighting with, and the problem looks different in this day and age, but it's the same patterns, the same impulses, the same addictions, and the problem is the pattern that all started with Adam. Look at Hebrews 8, verse 5. He's talking about Old Testament priests here. And he says, "They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the," what? "The pattern shown you on the mountain." God showed Moses a pattern of what to build. And he told Moses, "Hey, you're building a copy of what's in heaven, so make sure you build it according to the pattern." I wonder if he wouldn't say the same thing to you and me about our lives that we're building according to the pattern of God's Word. He says, "See to it you make everything according to the pattern," because if you get off the pattern of God's Word, you might break the pattern, but eventually the pattern will break you. You know, there's patterns in math, too. I used to be a math expert. My major in college was actually aerospace engineering, and so I took 3 years of calculus all the way through differential equations. I don't remember a thing about it now. But I do remember that math is full of patterns. For example, if you take the number 111 and multiply it by 6, 111 times 6 equals 666. Okay, I put that up on the screen here. The left side of that equation there is a pattern. The right side is what we usually call in math the product, the multiplication product, right? So the pattern leads to the product. You'll see a little more clearly about that pattern in a second. Now, in this case, number 666 is not what we would usually want for a product, right? You know, and here's what I think God would tell us. If you don't like the product, then change the pattern. If you don't like the product, then change the pattern. And this is so critical for us because some of us don't like the product that we're seeing in our lives. We don't like the way our relationships flow. We don't like the way our bodies look or the way our bodies feel. We don't like the fact that we're always stressed out. We don't like the way our lives feel empty. That's the product. And we don't like it. It's like the 666. We don't like that product. But you know what? You can hate the product all you want. You can complain about the product all you want. But the problem is not the product. The problem is the pattern. And so often we look at our lives and we want to blame the tree for the fruit that's not there. And we want to blame God for the blessings that He hasn't given us. And we want to blame people for the opportunities they didn't offer. We want to blame circumstances for our problems. We want to blame genetics for our weight. We've got an excuse for everything. But might I suggest that the problem is not what they did to you. The problem is not what they said. The problem was not what he didn't give you. The problem is the pattern of your response to all those things. So let's change the pattern. In our math equation, if we change the pattern on the left and make it 111 times 7... on that next screen, then the product is 777. That's a good product. 7 is the number of God. How many of you like that product better than 666? Yeah, you know, it's better. But you can't change the product unless you change the pattern. You can't change your relationships unless you change the pattern of what you say and the way you show kindness. You can't change the way your kids act unless you change the pattern of your love and discipline and encouragement. You can't change your career unless you change the pattern of your interrelations with coworkers and your work habits. You can't change your wisdom unless you change the pattern of what you're putting into your mind. And so the problem is the pattern. Now, here's what tends to happen. We don't perceive the pattern in our lives. All we see is the problems. And it's easy to see the problems. Anybody can perceive the problems that easy. But the ability to perceive the pattern beneath the problems, that will change your life. Let me give you some examples. Some of you would say, well, I'm just not a morning person. Never have been, never will be. You know, the saying, early to bed, early to rise makes man healthy, wealthy, whatever. That is not me. You know, early to rise just makes me mean and hateful. You know, and you're just convinced that you are not a morning person. That's it. But if we looked closer, we would discover a pattern. And the pattern might look like this. Well, I think about stressful stuff all day and never pray about it, and so I get home and I'm stressed out, and then after dinner I keep snacking all evening long, and I drink caffeine until 8:30 p.m., and then after that I lose my temper with the kids at 9:30, and I stay up to watch just one more episode, and then I realize I don't have anything to wear tomorrow because everything's dirty, and so I get to bed even later. And so, of course, the next morning, I'm groggy because I haven't gotten enough sleep, and it just confirms in my mind, oh, I'm just not a morning person. No, the truth is, you just have some bad nighttime patterns. And if you change the pattern, you will change the product. Or maybe you'd say, well, I'm not a good student, I never have been, and you're just convinced that, not a good student. But if we look closer, we would discover that you're a normal student with bad patterns. You have patterns of procrastination. And it's your procrastination that's causing you to do poorly, not that you're a bad student. And so we take whole areas of our lives and we say, well, I'm just not any good at this. I just can't change in this area. When really, they're a matter of patterns. And those patterns can be changed. But you know what? We also make our patterns very personal. We say, don't try to change my patterns. That's just who I am. No, it isn't. You are not your pattern. Some of our problems are not the result of destiny. They're the result of decisions we've made. But we get destiny confused with decisions, and we think, well, this is the way it's supposed to be because it's the way it's always been. But I'm here to announce, if you will change the patterns, then God will change the product. You are not stuck the way you are. It doesn't always have to be the same. You can get a new pattern. If you couldn't, then Paul would not have said, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But he did say that. And so, and apparently, there's something you can do to change the pattern. Others of you might have another pattern. You might say, well, my life is so hectic. No, you're just always in a hurry. That's the pattern of your life. So life feels hectic because you're always in a hurry. Hurry is your pattern. Hectic is your product. But if you change the pattern, you can change the product. Now, there's 100 other patterns I could talk about. I'm disorganized. I have no energy. I can't afford to tithe. I don't like to exercise. You know, those are all patterns. And everything changes when we open our spiritual eyes to God's Word and we perceive the pattern behind our problems. And so let me ask you, do you perceive the pattern behind your problems? Are you still blaming somebody else for the problems in your life? Are you blaming your circumstances or your genetics for your problems? Or do you perceive the pattern? Because the pattern is the problem. The truth is that I'm still learning my own patterns. I have some patterns of discouragement and depression. Yes, I sometimes do get depressed, and listening to my own sermons doesn't help. In fact, sometimes that makes it worse because I'm thinking, wow, I thought I was a better preacher than that. And so I have to pay attention to my own patterns so that I can, you know, when I recognize when I'm starting to get burned out and I can take some time off, take a vacation, whatever, do something to change the pattern. And on a daily basis, I've found that if I force myself, whether I feel like it or not, I force myself in the morning to praise and thank God for all His blessings in my life, that changes my pattern to the point that I don't get as stressed out that day. So I perceive the patterns in my life, and if I want a different product, I've got to change the pattern. Some of us have patterns of distraction in our lives. We're constantly distracted from what's most important. Others have patterns of self-pity. And you're always taking offense at things people say or getting hurt by people, even when they meant nothing by it. What are the patterns in your life? And what are they producing? For you parents, this is kind of a scary deal because you will leave a legacy, and most of your legacy will be your patterns. Little Johnny is one day going to fight with his spouse the way you fight with yours because he's seen the pattern. And maybe you look at your family history and you see a history of divorce, you see a history of addiction, you see a history of manipulation or compulsive spending or anger and temper tantrums or something else, and maybe you need to decide to break the pattern to say, I am not passing this pattern on to another generation. I am changed by Jesus, and I am changing the pattern. It stops here. You see, you can have a good heart, but horrible habits, and guess which will win? Your habits will win out over your heart. It's sad, but it's true. And so you got to change the pattern. And the reason you sometimes struggle and never can seem to change is because you're not looking for the pattern. You're simply looking at the problem. You're trying to change the product without changing the pattern. And you become so convinced that your problem is just that person. You know, the problem is my boss. You know, the problem is my parents. The problem is my circumstances. The problem is my background or my genetics. And you're so focused on those other things that you're sure are causing the problems that you're completely ignoring the pattern behind it all. But if you identify the pattern, you can change the product. And then you'll start to see the things that used to appear just random. And you'll say, you know what? There's a pattern there. And then you can come to God and say, God, here's how I feel and here's how I think. But God, could you change my thought patterns? I want to think like you, God. I want some new patterns. How many of you would say, I want some new patterns? Let's look at our last scripture this morning. Luke 4, verse 18. Jesus says here, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is right at the start of Jesus' ministry. He's telling everybody why he was sent by the Father. And what does he say? He starts listing a bunch of our problems, and he says the pattern for his ministry was set by our problems. He says, my ministry means good news to the poor and prisoners, the sick and oppressed. Our problems became his pattern for ministry. Everywhere Jesus went, the poor were preached the gospel. Prisoners were set free. Sick were healed. Oppressed were released. Our problems became his pattern of ministry. He came to break our bad patterns and replace them with his life-giving pattern. Some of us here this morning are still bound by oppression or by addiction or by discouragement or despair. We're imprisoned by securities. But Jesus says, your problem was my pattern, and I came to set you free. I came to break the power of your bondage. I came to heal your blind eyes so that you can see God and see what he wants to do in your life and see what he wants to produce, the fruit he wants to produce. I came to set you free from that pattern of sin that started with Adam. I came to bring you supernatural peace and abundant joy. And so remain in me. Abide in me. Let my life flow into you and through you, and you will never be the same. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like a worship band to come up for a closing song. And will you bow together with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is no problem that you are not the solution to. We thank you that there is nobody in a prison that you can't set them free from. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to break heavy yokes and destroy heavy burdens, to expose patterns and change thinking patterns, to change hearts and change habits. Thank you that in Jesus Christ, our old patterns are broken, and we have victory in Jesus' name. There may be some of you here this morning that you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not sure that you would be with him for eternity. You can change that right now. You can change the pattern of your life. You can make a change in the pattern that will have eternal consequences. God is calling you to do that today. Why don't you just pray along with me in your heart? Just say something like this. Father, I recognize that I do need you. Jesus, I recognize that I need what you did for me by dying on the cross to forgive all my sins, and then by rising to new life so that I can have new life in you, so that I can be righteous in you. So Jesus, I make you my Lord and my Savior right now. As much as I know how, I want to follow you from this point on. I give you my life. I ask you to take it and change it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I have power to serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.